Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
The last time Brazil dominated global headlines, it was because of huge fires in the Amazon that burned nearly 4,000 square miles of forest last year. They were blamed in part on the government of President Jair Bolsonaro loosening enforcement of laws against illegal deforestation. So you can imagine my surprise when I saw this ad for Brazil on TV recently.
Amazon by Brazil. The federal government reaffirms its sovereignty to take actions to protect, preserve, and sustainably develop the Amazon. Brazil is a leading example of sustainability. We have kept 60% of our native vegetation and 84% of the Amazon forest is preserved. The protection of the Amazon is our duty. We are working hard to fight illegal deforestation and criminal activities that put our Amazon in danger.
Let's bring in NPR correspondent Philip Reeves in Rio de Janeiro. Hi, Phil.
Hi.
So when I saw that ad for the first time, I thought, wow, the tourism industry in Brazil must not be doing well if they're advertising like that in the United States, trying to improve the image. How is the tourism industry doing?
Well, generally, it's not doing particularly well. That said, one of the big events in the tourist calendar is the New Year's Eve party and fireworks display on Copacabana Beach here in Rio. And authorities say this year, this brought in a record 1.7 million tourists, Brazilian and international tourists, which is up 300,000 on the year before. But, you know, we're starting from very low numbers here. In 2018, Brazil received far fewer foreign visitors than Ukraine, and way less than Turkey. And it's been like that here for years, which is remarkable when you consider what Brazil has to offer. I mean, the thousands of miles of tropical beach, hundreds of islands, the rainforest, of course, Carnival, which is one of the most dazzling spectacles on the planet, an incredibly rich culture and history in which indigenous African and European cultures entwine. You know, but yet in the last few years, the number of visitors from abroad has stagnated at a lowly 5.5 to 6.5 million annually. That's below the number clocked up by the Louvre Museum in Paris.
What are the reasons for that?
Well, that's a subject of much debate. Crime is certainly an issue. There's a big problem with tourists getting robbed. The other day here in Rio, there was a big party and concert on the avenue that runs in front of Copacabana Beach to celebrate the start of the street carnival season. Some people started stealing phones and bags. The cops showed up. Things flared up. The police fired tear gas. People threw bottles and rocks at them. And in the end, there was chaos in one of the world's most celebrated tourist areas. Also, this city's got a lot of favelas, which are low-income shanty towns, and some of these suffer a lot of violence, partly because of the war between organized criminal groups over drugs and also because of the deadly tactics used by the police. And it can be dangerous for tourists who stray into these areas. Mm-hmm. The other day we had a Swiss tourist who's 73 who was trying to go to a seaside resort down the coast, but his GPS guided him into a favela where he and his wife were mugged, and he was shot and critically wounded. So, you know, that is an issue. There are also infrastructure problems right now in Rio, right at the start of the tourist season. There's a water crisis, evil-smelling, nasty-tasting waters coming out of the city's taps. The reports of people getting sick after drinking it. The state water company says there's nothing to worry about. It's caused by algae. But the cops are now investigating. So, you know, it's not an easy place to attract tourists, even though it does have these incredible riches.
I haven't been to Brazil for a number of years, but I remember that when I did go, I had to work extra hard to get in because Americans at the time needed a visa. I went to the Argentinian side of the Iguazu waterfalls, but I couldn't cross like the Europeans over to the Brazilian side because I didn't have a visa. They have just eliminated the need for tourist visas for passport holders from the U.S., Canada, Australia, and Japan. Is that likely to increase visitors from those countries?
Yes. In fact, it already has. The tourism ministry here says that reservations for this year from those four countries, from citizens from those four countries, are well up on last year. The visa exemptions started in June, and the ministry says that in July, income from foreign tourism went up by some $180 million against the number for July 2018. So the government has high hopes. In fact, it's considering extending that visa waiver to Chinese tourists. It's all part of a grand plan to grow the number of international tourists coming to Brazil from a measly 6.6 million in 2018 to 12 million by 2022.
Is it possible that an increase in tourism could actually play a role in protecting the Amazon from being turned, let's say, into farmland or other kinds of development?
That is a moot point. I mean, it could actually have the opposite effect. Mm-hmm. Brazil's president, Jair Bolsonaro, is very keen to commercially exploit the rainforest, and that includes developing the tourist industry within it. He thinks environmental laws often get in the way of doing that, which is why he's been sidelining and downgrading regulation agencies, which led or helped produce last year's worrying spike in deforestation. His argument is that, you know, you can develop parts of the forest at the same time as protecting it, but much of the world strongly disagrees with that. On the other hand, some international environmentalists want a boycott of Brazil and Brazilian products, and if that happened, I guess that could badly dent the tourism industry, and maybe that would add to pressure on Brazil to do a better job of protecting the forest. It's really not very clear.
Is Bolsonaro part of the problem himself, just the image that he has? He's been obviously criticized for environmental policies and not protecting the Amazon enough, but also he's got a track record of saying insulting things about gay people, about other world leaders. Is he part of the problem when it comes to tourism?
Well, the numbers were bad before he was elected. So that clearly isn't something that he has anything to do with. But yes, I mean, he has acquired a very bad image overseas. He made one particularly notorious comment that made a lot of headlines. He said that anyone who wants to visit Brazil to have sex with a woman is welcome, but that he doesn't want the country to become a paradise for what he called the gay world. Bolsonaro has a record of homophobic and misogynist behavior, and a lot of people understandably found that particular remark offensive. And I guess that might prompt some people not to come here. I have seen people making comments to that effect online.
So what about Bolsonaro within Brazil? I remember hearing your reporting just a few weeks back about how unpopular he is in the country, and he's only been in office for a little more than a year. Is his unpopularity, or will his unpopularity, cause him to change some of his more controversial positions?
Well, it is true. Bolsonaro doesn't always get what he wants. And he's had to shift ground in his first year in office as a result of that. I mean, he doesn't have a party in Congress. His policies are sometimes blocked by Congress and also by the courts. And there are quite a few examples of him changing his policy positions, especially in foreign affairs, after discovering that his stated intentions actually don't work in practice. But I don't think he's the kind of leader that's likely to change positions because he's worried about his popularity ratings. He's like President Trump in that respect. He focuses on keeping his right-wing base happy. Mm-hmm. And if the wider society dislikes that, he doesn't seem to care, at least at this point. We'll see what happens when the elections get closer.
Okay, so back to that ad that we heard at the top. This is not the first time Brazil has launched ad campaigns to attract tourists or investment. It seems to do so every few years. There was a big one around the World Cup in 2014. Are they generally effective?
Well, people here are rather disappointed in the results. The World Cup didn't produce any lasting increase in international tourist numbers. And there's a debate here about what's going wrong. Some people think Brazil does a poor job of marketing itself. It's now, perhaps as a result of that debate, started to move away from selling the stereotype of Brazil as a place of sun-drenched beaches and near-naked butts, and to emphasize instead its wonderful heritage and its ecological riches. This endeavor wasn't helped, though, by a slogan that Brazil's tourism authorities came out with recently, which said, "Brazil, visit and love us." That caused much merriment and also despair among a lot of Brazilians because of its sexual innuendo. It seems to have been a translation issue. They didn't check it, apparently, with a fluent English speaker before putting it out there.
You know, I think that's the first time we've heard somebody with the gravitas of Philip Reeves say near naked butts. So we're going to leave it right there. Phil Reeves, NPR's correspondent based in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. Thank you.
You're welcome.